Welcome back to another week's Myths versus Facts. We're going to stick with the Illuminati. Let's get a little more specific about just who were members of the Illuminati. Now, there have been several books which detail the known membership of the Illuminati, but one thing is quite noticeable about them all. It is the lack of naming any Americans who were members. Of all the members of the Illuminati, Americans are the most secretive. Of all the books who talk about the Illuminati, very few reference the Illuminati Manifesto of World Revolution. This volume included a list submitted to the Austrian government in Vienna by the government of Bavaria of high individuals who were members of the Illuminati. Keep in mind that Bavaria was the state in which the Illuminati was founded. This list contained the names of Lafayette and Thomas Paine. Lafayette probably belonged to more secret societies than just about anyone you can name. He was always dabbling in revolutionary causes and always found a way to get out of any pickle he found himself in relative to who held the power of government at any time. By the time Lafayette came to the United States, in the celebration of the 50th anniversary of our country, he was a leader of the Carbonari in France. You may recall that Trotsky said that the Carbonari was the culmination of the left wing of the Illuminati. It is interesting that there are two full-sized portraits that hang in front of the House of Representatives. The one on the left is of George Washington. The one on the right is of Lafayette. Most people who are unfamiliar with this fact cannot identify the person of Lafayette or say why he has the same position of honor as Washington. Certainly, there were more individuals in the American Revolution from foreign countries that helped far more than Lafayette did, von Steuben, Pulaski, and Kosciuszko. It's my opinion that Lafayette was placed there due to his position in the conspiracy, not his position in our revolution, although that may be the public excuse. But why him? There are several men from European countries who came to America to help us that did far more than he did for the cause. And by the way, why isn't another American up there like John Adams or someone like that? Thomas Paine wrote a very brilliant essay called Common Sense, which helped rally Americans to the cause of liberty. After that, he became more of a radical than a common sense revolutionary. His writings, since he moved to England, have become the stuff of the communist lexicon to set the stage for the indoctrination of youth into the socialist movement. His book, The Age of Reason, on the title page, part 3, had this to say about its contents, quote, "An examination of the passages of the New Testament, quoted from the Old, and called prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, to which is prefixed an essay on dreams, also an appendix containing the contradictory doctrines between Matthew and Mark." So we see right in the frontispiece a questioning of Scripture, if you will. Paine's Rights of Man contain the ideas of the welfare state, the graduated income tax, old age pensions, and public housing. By 1797, Paine embraced an inheritance tax. While in England, after leaving the United States, Paine started a few units of Illuminati, and between that and his writings, he was forced to flee Britain to France, where he was made a member of the Revolutionary Assembly, even though he was a non-citizen of France. Robespierre, the head of the revolutionary government, had a habit of incarcerating any rival for his power, and this he did to Paine. No one seems to know how Paine avoided the guillotine, but he lived to see Robespierre die. We will visit Paine again during our segment on the French Revolution and the Illuminati influence there. No one knows for sure, or no one who does has ever published the exact number of members of the Illuminati. The estimates range from a few hundred to 3,000. Estimated membership of the Illuminati is, like I said, from a few hundred to 3,000. It was at least 2,000 by all indications. The numbers are not that important, as we will show next week. It is how they're organized. They all worked together under a monolithic leadership. They worked on the same things at the same time, and while they had a general agenda, they were called upon to work on singular issues and items within political boundaries. This gave them greater weight than if they were simply doing this on their own as individuals, even though they had a common general goal. Adam Weishaupt kept his leadership even more secret than the organization. Once his leadership was exposed, several of his top lieutenants quit the Illuminati because they felt they were better leaders than he was. Any really secret society keeps its leadership as the greatest secret of all. This is why it is next to impossible to ferret out the conspiracy's leadership today. Next week, we will talk about the French Revolution, a revolution from which France has never recovered.